I want to, Joshua, I want you to read Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, and Luke chapter 11, 13. Matthew 7, 11. Luke 11, 13. And Apostle Matthew saying that even though we are not a good parent, and yet we know how to give good gifts to our children, to those who come to us and ask for gifts, right? 7:11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And in verse 13 of chapter 11 of Luke, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There are two kind of gifts that the Holy Spirit will give. One is the gifts that you can serve one another, and the other one is the Holy Spirit himself. He gives you the Holy Spirit himself. And some gifts, you have to ask for it. Some gifts, you don't have to ask for it, they give it to you. So there's two different kinds too. In here, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, the good gifts, you have to ask for it. If you don't ask for it, you don't get it. 7:11, the last verse. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So you have to ask him. If you don't ask, he won't give it to you. You have to ask, okay? Some other gifts, you don't have to ask. He give it to you. You're born with it. The moment you were born again, to be the Son of God, he gave it to you. Where does it say? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12, could you read that? Verse 7 all the way to verse 11. Chapter 12, verse 7 to 11.
Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous power.
So verse 11, all these, I mean all these gifts, all these spiritual gifts are the work of the one and the same Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who gives the spiritual gifts, as we call it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. It is the Holy Spirit who gives the spiritual gifts. But whereas in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it is Jesus Christ who gives spiritual gifts. Okay? As I said last week, whether it was given by Jesus Christ or given by the Holy Spirit, it means the same thing. It's given by God. Okay? Now, some gifts you don't have to ask for. Some gifts you have to ask for. The moment you come to know Jesus Christ and He gives you certain spiritual gifts, and you can use that gift to start serving God. But once you go to the church and start serving God, you find out, oh, you like to have another kind of spiritual gifts, and you want that, you can ask for it. Whether He will give it to you, that's another story. Okay? If you think that if He give it to you, you will use it, you're not going to abuse it, very likely He's going to give it to you. Same as, let's say, you know that in this church we don't have English pastor, I mean full-time, and you want to start serving God. You say, God, would you please give me the spirit of prophecy, spirit of the gifts of teaching? And you ask the Lord to give it to you, very likely He's going to give it to you. Because once He gave it to you, you can use it to start teaching other people. Like Donald, you can ask for that, you know, because you can help out to the children ministry. You know, you're local born. You were born in here. And you learn the Bible. You learn it well. Then you can teach younger people. The more you teach others, the more you understand it yourself. But if you just ask it to show off, very likely He won't give it to you. If you ask it so as to serve Him, very likely He give it to you. So some gifts you don't have to ask. Just like 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. You underline the word, chapter 12, verse 11. The Holy Spirit give them to each one. Give the spiritual gifts to each one, just as the Holy Spirit determined. If you think it's good for the church, for that local church, for you to have that kind of spiritual gifts, if you think you should have it, He give it to you. You don't have to ask for it. Okay? Some of the gifts, you have to ask for. So you don't just look at one Bible, chapter 12, verse 11. The Holy Spirit give it to us. Each and every one of us has at least one spiritual gift, just as He determines. I don't have to ask for it. Then you don't ask. You don't just hold on to chapter 12, verse 11. You say you don't have to ask for it. But whereas Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, do you have to ask for it? You have to ask for it, right? How much more the Heavenly Father will give good gifts to those who ask Him, right? Do I make myself clear? Some gifts, you don't have to ask for it. Some gifts, you have to ask for it. And when you find out that you want to serve God in certain area in the church, and you find out that you feel very exhausted, you know, you don't have the gifts to do it, you can ask for it. I want to show it to you. How do you know that that is the spiritual gifts that the Lord gave it to you? Let's say you want to teach other people. You want to have the gifts of teaching, okay? And you find out you have a hard time to explain to others. You either don't ask,
the Lord to give you to give you the spirit of teaching, or are you just using your own strength and you feel very exhausted? But when you ask the Lord to give it to you, He opened your eyes, He let you see certain things that other people did not see. And at the same time, when you teach others by using that spiritual gift, other people get benefit. Then you know the Lord has already given you that gift of teaching. Like the gifts of generosity. Some people love to give stuff to other people. And the more you give it to other people, according to Romans 12, the more He give it to you. So each and every one of us, as God's children, you have to find out what is your spiritual gifts. I want you to tell me, okay? Joshua, you read one more time, chapter 12, verse 7 to 11, and you tell me how many spiritual gifts was mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. I want you people to mark it down, okay?
Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the all these are the work of one and the same Spirit who gives them to each one just as He determined.
So how many spiritual gifts here can in verse 8? What kind of spiritual gift is that? When someone can deliver a message of wisdom, what is the message of wisdom? Anybody knows? Josh?
What the spirit of wisdom is?
Yeah. No, not the spirit of wisdom.
Spirit and message of wisdom?
To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom.
Prophecy?
I want you to circle the word wisdom and you write down. I think I asked you people to memorize it at one point in time. What you call Proverbs. Wisdom teaches the fear of the Lord. Do you remember? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Wisdom teaches the fear of the Lord. If someone has the message of wisdom, that means he has the message of the fear of the Lord. Do you see that? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. I prefer the footnotes translation. The NIV translation say the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom. And the footnotes say wisdom teaches the fear of the Lord. The message of wisdom is the message of the fear of the Lord. So if you hear the message during your Bible study, if you hear the message during the sermon, that you start fear the Lord, you hear the message of wisdom. Then you become a wise man. A fool despises the Lord. A wise man fears the Lord. Okay? So the first spiritual gift is the message of wisdom, is the message of the fear of the Lord, right? What's the second spiritual gift? The message of knowledge. So what's that? Anybody knows? It's a message of what? Tell me.
About where the Bible says the fear of the Lord teaches a man at the beginning of knowledge.
Yeah. But in here, what is the message of knowledge? So I give you some hint in 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Could you, Joshua, could you read that?
We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
First John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his command. The man who say, I know him, but does not do what he command is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The word knowledge comes from the root word know, right? If you say you have knowledge of God, if you say you know God, that means what? You obey his command. When you obey his command, that what does it mean? According to Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 21, that means you love the Lord. That means the Lord loves you too. God loves you too. 14:21. So if someone say that I have the message of knowledge, that means he has the message of love. The message of love. But as a matter of fact, in the entire Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament talk about the messages of the fear of the Lord and the messages of loving the Lord. Okay? So that's what Moses say, to fear God and to love God. So in the church, you have to have these two kinds of messages. The messages of the fear of the Lord, the messages of loving our Lord God. Right? Isn't it? That's the spiritual gifts. Do you remember in Deuteronomy? That's what Moses talked about. Would you please turn to Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Chapter 6, verse 13. Could you read that? I want you to use the highlighter. Chapter 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God. Highlight that. And then chapter 6, verse 13. Fear the Lord, your God. That's what Moses teaches each and every one of us. The entire Bible hinge upon these two messages. Okay? The messages of what? Of wisdom and the messages of knowledge. The more you love God, the more you know God. What do you mean by you love God? The more you obey His command, the more you know Him. You don't just say, I love Him with your, you know, you love Him with your word. You love Him with your action. So that's why the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. With actions. And then, 13, fear the Lord your God. Serve Him only. And take your oath in His name. You only serve Him. If you fear the Lord, you don't serve anyone else. You only serve Him. Hey, Daniel, why you want to increase your... Put it here. So you can write it down. It's not enough light. You know that. Okay, move here. You know, there's a lot of space. Give some more space for Daniel, right? That poor guy. So what's the first spiritual gift? If someone have the spiritual gifts of teaching, he will teach what? The message of wisdom. So that we fear the Lord, right? Wisdom teaches the fear of the Lord. And then also, we don't just fear God, we love God too, right? Right? We fear God, we serve Him only. We don't serve anybody else. Okay? Now, what's the third spiritual gift? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What's the other spiritual gift? Verse 9. Joshua? Faith. Hey, faith is a spiritual gift. Who gave it to us based upon verse 11? Just as the Holy Spirit determined. Right? So in other words, you look back. The first day when you come to know Jesus Christ, you open your heart. Who helped you to open your heart to believe in Jesus Christ? Who gave you that faith? You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Faith is a spiritual gift. Faith is the third spiritual gift that Paul talked about. The first, he talked about what? Wisdom. That is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Second, talk about knowledge. That means love the Lord, your God, okay? Third, what did he talk about? Faith. Faith is a spiritual gift. Some people has greater faith than the other. Because the Lord gave it to him. Who has the greater faith? Do you know? Among all the other people? Who has the greater faith? Most of the time, it's the prophet. The prophet has the greatest faith. Where does it say? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. We have different gifts. That gift is spiritual gifts. according to the grace given us. According to the grace given us. Okay? And then, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. When you prophesy, you need to have faith. When you preach, when you teach, you need to have faith. Why? Because whatever you teach, as long as it's God's word, what you see is different from what God says. So that's why Paul always saying what? I do not live by sight, I live by faith. I do not live by sight, I live by faith. Okay? See, go back. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. When you prophesy, you need to prophesy by the faith that he given you. Verse 7, if it is serving, let him serve. Serving is a spiritual gift. If it's teaching, let him teach. Teaching is a spiritual gift. Verse 8, encouraging. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing, let him give, okay? If he's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. All these are spiritual gifts. So you have to find out what kind of spiritual gifts that the Lord has given it to you. And you cannot tell me you have no spiritual gifts. You have at least one spiritual gift. Most of the time, we Christian has more than one spiritual gift. Okay? The more spiritual gift that you have, the more you're willing to serve. The more you exercise it, the better it is. Just like playing piano, if you practice it, you do it well. Even though you have that kind of spiritual gift, if you don't use it, it gets rusted. Okay? So you have to use it. The more you use it, the better it is. So now, I want you to write down, right beside 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you write Romans 12, so that for sure you will remember. This talk about spiritual gifts. So I want you to go back and read it, because if you don't know your spiritual gifts, and then very likely you're not going to serve in the church. You're going to find out what kind of spiritual gift the Lord has given it to you. You know, for those people who just come to the church and hearing the word of the Lord and never teach other people, they won't have that gift of teaching. But in reality, he may have the gift of teaching, but he don't exercise. He didn't know. Like you go to the Southside Church, right? You worship in the Westside Church, and then in the afternoon, Emily, you go to the Southside Church to teach the children, right? When, how do you know that you have this gift of teaching? When you teach other children, the children understand what you're trying to say. At the same time, you enjoy it. You won't feel frustrated. You have that gift for the common good. you yourself will grow in your spiritual life, and other people get benefit. So it's a lot easier for you to find out your spiritual gift if you are in a small church. Why? Because in a small church, there's a lot of opening for you to serve. You just get into it. As long as you're willing to serve, most of the time in a small church, they allow you to serve. In a big church, oh, you don't have that opportunity. So that's why in a big church, a lot of people are not serving. And the Lord is not happy with that. He's not pleased with it. We are not supposed to sit in the pew and just listening. We're supposed to learn from it and then teach others. The more you teach others, the more you consolidate what you have learned, what you have heard, and what you understand. You digest it. Because by the time when you teach others, people have questions, they raise their hand and ask you a question, then you may not be able to answer it. But next time, you'll be paying more attention to listen so that you can do it better. All right? Okay, go back to 1 Corinthians. What did I say? You write beside 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you write Romans 12. Okay? The third spiritual gift is faith. Faith, where does faith come from? I want you to write down faith. Right beside the word faith, you write down Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message. The message comes from the word of Christ. In other words, if you do not hear the word of Christ, you just hear story, human story. If you don't hear about the word of God, you don't have faith. Because faith comes from the word of God, the word of Christ. Faith was also given by who? By the Holy Spirit. So I want you also write it down. Faith given by the Holy Spirit, and faith come from the Word of God. You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. It is the Holy Spirit who gives you that faith. Open your heart, open your mind, that you can understand. By then, you have faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God say Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. When you first hear the message, and the messenger saying to you, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in it, you have faith in that, it is because the Holy Spirit has moved you. It's not because you are wise, no. It is because the Holy Spirit moving you. Okay? Open your mind, open your heart that you can understand that Jesus is Lord. 12:3 and 12:9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. First of all, he moved you. The moment you accept Jesus is the Lord, he gives you that faith. So each and every one have the spiritual gift of faith. But having the spiritual gift of faith is not good enough. You have to proceed. You have to pursue it according to Romans 10:17. You have to read the scripture yourself. You know, I just, on our way here, I just talked to my daughter. I asked her when she's going to finish her semester. you said the mid of April, right? The mid of April, take a look. They start schooling in January, not January the 1st, January the what? 10, right? Okay, and then the end of schooling is April the 15th, right? Come on, and then what? February has only 28 days, March 31 days, you know, and then April. You really studying what? For 2 months, 3 months. And then the last 2 weeks exam. You go to university, if you don't study yourself, I tell you, you graduate with a degree, you end up learning nothing. You go to university, you have to read books. You go to a church, you have to read the Bible. You don't read it, you just auditing, you just listen to it, you don't study yourself at home, you end up not knowing the stuff. You understand? You need to read it every day. What happens if you read something you don't understand? Then what should you do? Joshua, what should we do? Eh? Well, in school, what will you do? You ask the professor. What about in the church? I never heard you asking. Come on, Demi, you don't want to learn, man. Oh, man. What's wrong with you? You have no desire to learn? Or either you know everything. Don't waste time ask through email. No, don't give me excuse. But I tell you one thing. Nowadays, a lot of people going to the church for 10 years, they don't learn anything because they have no desire to seek the truth. That is really sad. You learn by asking questions, by asking. Do you know the Chinese word knowledge? The word knowledge? Do you know this Chinese word? This is learn. How do you learn? By asking. This is asking. This is learning. You put this word together, mean knowledge. You don't learn stuff, man, without asking. Right? That's bad. So you know what? In the summertime, I'm going to put you in the south side to teach Bible. And then I get Donald to ask you a question. Right, Donald, right? Give him a hard time. Give him a hard time. Challenge him. Eh? Man. Well, either we change it or else we are in deep trouble. The Lord is coming back pretty soon. Look at the earthquake. Look at the tsunami. He's coming. And yet we still don't know him. Don't know much about him. You know? We are not seeking him. Okay? So faith, you have to what? You have to ask God to give you faith by asking. And then you want to increase your faith on top of asking. God, the Father, give you more faith. You have to what? Study. You have to study the Word of God. Why you have to ask? Because the Holy Spirit will give you faith. You have to ask for that. Okay? Ask Him to increase your faith. And secondly, you have to study the scripture yourself. And thirdly, how do you increase your faith? By putting it into practice. Let's say, I just give you one illustration. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Paul saying that in his preaching, he remembered what Jesus has said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And Paul believed in that. Paul had faith in that. And what did Paul do? He gave it to others. He's very generous to his co-worker. And why he's so generous? Because he knows that the more he gives it to others, the more he receives from the Lord. So that's why he says it's more blessed to give than to receive. We receive it from Paul. But Paul directly receives it from who? From the Lord. He gets more blessing. You understand? So, in these three areas, we can increase our faith. First is by what? By prayer, asking. Secondly, by studying. Thirdly, put into practice. Okay? Then we increase your faith. Studying the Word of God itself, you can only get certain level. And you have to ask God to give you faith to do it. And then you do it. When you do it, your life will be changed. You will not be the same. Okay? Could you tell me how can you increase your faith? In three areas. First, ask who? Ask God. How do you ask God? By praying, okay. Secondly, studying, you're coming here to studying Word of God, right? And then studying at home yourself, right? And practicing it. Wow, you're a smart girl. What's your name? Alice? Alice, really a smart girl. Okay. What's the other spiritual gifts? Joshua? Verse 9? Gifts of healing. What is that? Do we have gifts of healing now in the church? You know, it's amazing, you know. Paul did not put the gifts of healing in the top of the list. He's put it in the fourth of the list. The top is wisdom. Second is knowledge. Third is faith. Fourth is healing. But if you don't read the Bible, you ask people, what's the quickest gift? Healing. They say, wow, you know, I lay hand on you and then you're healed. Well, that's great, right? No. Wisdom is better. Knowledge is better. Faith is better. Then come the healing. Okay, what else? Verse 10. Miraculous power. Six. What kind of spiritual gifts? Prophecy. Seven. Can anyone tell me what is distinguishing between spirit. Do you know what I mean? Josh? Yeah, that's it. You write it down. 1 John chapter 4. Read that. 4:1-4. 1 John 4:1-4. Okay. You see that? Could you read it yourself? Chapter 4, 1 to 4. Why? How come John saying to his children, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God." Not every spirit is from God. Some are spirit of Antichrist. Some are spirit of Christ, right? Some are spirit of the devil. Some are spirit of God. Some are evil spirit. Some are Holy Spirit. You don't just believe in every spirit. Nowadays, a lot of people who prophesy not from the Holy Spirit, who prophesy from the evil spirit, they are false prophets. Right? Not every pastor who teach from the Holy Spirit. Some pastors teach from the evil spirit. They are false teacher, false pastor. Not everyone who speak in tongue speak from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they speak from the evil spirit. So you have to test it. Okay? How do you test it, Joshua? Based upon 1 John chapter 4, 1-4, how do you test it? What kind of question do you ask him?
You ask him if they know that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh from God.
No, you don't ask that person. You ask the spirit inside that person. First of all, you ask him, what's your name? And why are you saying what you're saying? Because the Holy Spirit can speak through his servant. The evil spirit can also speak through a human form. You ask him, what's your name inside that body? And why are you saying what you're saying? And how do you distinguish between spirit? Whatever that person's saying, if that person's saying something that's contradicting what the biblical teaching, that is not from the Holy Spirit. If what he say is in conformity with the teaching of the Bible, he is teaching and preaching from the Holy Spirit. You understand? So, in other words, if I do not know the Word of God, do I have the spirit of discernment? I don't. Right? If I, you know, everything, you look at all these spiritual gifts, all these seven spiritual gifts, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous power, prophecy, distinguishing between spirit, all of these spiritual gifts are hinged from what? The Word of God. So what does it mean then? The Word of God comes from the Word of God, the Word. Because in Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus say, what did Jesus say? The word that I speak to you is spirit. They are life. They are spirit and they are life. In other words, all these spiritual gifts is from the word. If you do not know the will of God, how do you know the fear of the Lord? How do you have the wisdom? If you do not know the word of the Lord, how do you have that knowledge to love the Lord? If you do not have the word of God, how can you have faith? Faith comes the word of Christ. If you do not have the word of God, how do you have the power of healing? Because it's the word of Christ that he say. What did he say? Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12. Those people who believe in me can do greater things than I. When Jesus healed, and he gave you the same kind of power to heal. If you do not have that word of God to back you up, you're going to make a fool of yourself. How can you do it? Could you read that 14:12? Gospel of John. It is from that word that you have that faith to do the healing. Like you do you remember that Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter raised people from the dead, right? He believed that. He believed what the Gospel of John chapter 14 verse 12 has said. He can do greater things than that, right? So by faith he healed that sick. By faith that he raised the dead, right? If you don't have that word of God, how can you have that spiritual power of healing? If it's from the Holy Spirit, that means it's from the word too, right? The word become flesh. What's the word? The word is Jesus Christ. That is his name. The name of God. What's the name of God? Revelation 19:13. What's the name of Jesus? Revelation 19:13. What's the name of Jesus Christ? It's the word of God, isn't it? Could you read that? The name of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. I say that, Paul say that, all these seven spiritual gifts is from the Holy Spirit. And I say that it's also from the Word, right? From Jesus Christ. So that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Holy Spirit gives us the spiritual gifts, but in Ephesians chapter 4, who gives us spiritual gift? 4:9. Is it 4:9 or 4:10? Or 4:11? Who gives us spiritual gifts? Jesus Christ gives us spiritual gifts. Chapter 4, verse 11. It was Jesus Christ who gave some to be apostle, some to be prophet, some to be evangelist, some to be pastor and teacher. He gave us this kind of spiritual gifts. You know, take a look at Apostle Paul, right? Did Apostle Paul has the message of wisdom? Did he teach people to fear the Lord? Did he teach people to love the Lord? Did he have the message of knowledge? So he has that gift. Did Paul have faith? Did Paul have power of healing? He healed quite a few people. Did he perform miracle? Did he prophesy? Did he have the discerning spirit between evil and good spirit, right? He has that too. So when you look at that, you say, oh, I may not have that. Not to mention I have all of them. so you can ask for it. Especially if you find out your relative, your friends, you know, your classmate are sick, you know, you want to pray for them, right? So Lord, give me the spirit of power. Give me the spirit of healing so that when I lay hand on them, you heal him. Isn't it good? Isn't it good? You can ask for that. Okay? But nowadays, if we don't know that we can ask for it, then we won't ask. Some of the gifts, the Holy Spirit will give it to you according to his determination, just as he determined, just as he wills. W-I-L-L-S. But you can also ask for it. And you can also seek for it, okay? Seek by asking. Okay, go back to Ephesians. In those days, verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastor and teacher, to prepare God's people for work of service. Now, I want to stop here. To prepare God's people, to prepare you, to prepare me for works of service. That means we Christians, we have to serve God. Am I right? Jesus Christ gave some to be apostles, like Peter, Paul, John, James, Barnabas, the apostle. Some to be prophet. Silas is a prophet. And some to be evangelist. Some to be pastor and teacher. Their job is to prepare God's people for works of service. Equip them, encourage them, empower them, and allow them, give them opportunity to serve, encourage them to serve. The first time when they serve, they may not serve it well, but we encourage them, keep doing it. And one of these days, they will do it really, really good. Oh, I still remember the first day when I teach. Oh, I'm shaking. I'm scared. I said, how can I spend that 1 hour? You know what I mean? What am I going to say? And lo and behold, I heard from a key lamb. Grant Wong preached 1 hour and 45 minutes in the first sermon. Grant, did you do that 1 hour, 45 minutes?
25. 1 hour,
25. 1 hour, 25. Oh, good, man. Oh, good. You see? He's better than Pastor John. See? 1 hour, 25 minutes. You know? I think, you know, we all have to practice it, okay? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ, so that the church, so that Christ's church may be built up. Brother and sister, I want you to write it down. The body of Christ, you circle that, the forward, the body of Christ, write that, the church, so that the church may be built up. If you want to build up the church, build up the temple, I want you to write down two Bible verses, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 7 and 1 Chronicle chapter 17. This is how David built up the body of Christ, built up the temple of God, and God blessed him forever and ever. Brother and sister, you know, if the pastor do not allow you to serve God, he's stopping you from getting blessing from God. Okay? Write down 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 Chronicle chapter 17. These two chapters is my favorite chapter in the Old Testament. I like it. A lot of blessing in there. You build a church, you build the house of God, and God builds your house forever. You serve him, he's going to separate you. And he's going to have mercy on you, so his compassion on you, so his love trust you, and listen to your prayer, and bless you left, right, and center. Make sure, brother and sister, devote yourself to build the church, to build up the body of Christ. But you cannot build up the body of Christ unless you're equipped to do it. You're not doing it with your own strength. You do it with the spiritual gifts, the spiritual power. What kind of spiritual gift? Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous power, prophecy, distinguishing between spirit. Using these kind of spiritual gifts, we all have to serve. Remember what I say, Nicolaitan? What Nicolaitan mean, Carl? What's Nicol mean? What's Nicol mean? Nicholas mean overcomer. Laiton. Laiton is from the word laity. Lay people. Nicolaitan means stopping lay people to serve God. That's no good. Right? Paul saying that we should what? Equip people. Prepare people. Prepare God's people for works of service. We are not supposed to be Nicolaitan. Okay? Chapter 4, verse 12. Paul said that his job, the job of a pastor, the job of a teacher, is to prepare God's people for work of service. Now I want to ask you, Kyle, before you come to this church, you come to the Southside Church, right? Do they encourage you to serve? Do they ask you to serve? Do they equip you to serve? Do they teach you Bible so that you can serve? Do they let you know that you have spiritual gift, that you can use the spiritual gift to serve? All they do will be happy. You just sit in the pew and offer money and sing the song. Don't deceive yourself. This kind of teaching is not from the Lord. The Lord's teaching is in what? In verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service. To prepare God's people for work of service. Now I'm preparing you for works of service. When you go to the Southside Church to teach other younger people, you prepare them for God's for work of service too. You understand? You don't encourage them to be lazy, right? Otherwise, you are practicing Nicolaitan. The one who practiced Nicolaitan, what's the name of that church? Do you remember? Pergamon. Pergamon is the one hold to the teaching of Nicolaitan. And Ephesians, some people, some pastor go to the church of Ephesus to practice Nicolaitan. Chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 15. I want you to write it down right beside Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. That is God's teaching. God wants Paul to prepare God's people for works of service. And when Paul passed away, when Paul left the church, he passed away, he's in heaven. And Jesus Christ rebuilds those who practice Nicolaitan. Revelation chapter 2, verse 6. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate. God hates that. And wears that a lot of pastors in the church practice that. He not only practiced it, and later on in the church of Pergamon, they hold on to the teaching of that. They teach others not to allow lay people to teach, not to allow lay people to serve. That is bad, bad, bad. And they end up going to hell. What do you write down? Write down Ephesians 4:12. You write down this like that, unequal. Unequal to Revelation chapter 2, verse what? 2:6 and 15. I want you to write it down. Write an unequal sign like that. So I do not want any of our children in this church to practice Nicolaitan or to hold on to the teaching of Nicolaitan. I am now preparing you for works of service, and you're going to pass it on to other people. You encourage them to teach. Encourage them to what? To serve God. You understand? How do we serve God? Using the spiritual gift to serve God. You don't have that kind of gift. You ask God to give you wisdom. You ask God to give you knowledge. You ask God to give you faith. You ask God to give you healing. You ask God to give you miracle power. You ask God to give you prophecy. You ask God to give the discerning, distinguishing between spirit. I don't know what did he give it to you. You can keep asking. But one of these days, he's going to give it to you. Then you prepare. As you ask, and you keep serving. You don't wait until I got it. How do you know you got it? By the time when you serve God, you find out, oh, other people get benefit. Oh, all of a sudden, you find out you got it already. You know, you keep laying hands on people, pray for people. All of a sudden, someone get healed. You know that you got the gifts of healing already. You understand what I'm trying to say? What have you learned, Joshua, today? And then? You be fed cat? You don't wait until you get it, you serve. You keep serving it. While you're serving it, he give it to you. Okay? The more you serve, the more he give it to you. The more faithful you are in serving him, the more he give it to you. When I prepare you for the work of service, and then you teach younger people, you prepare them for the work of service. You know, I was so happy last Sunday when I left. I see the youth, the young people now, when they finish washing the dishes and they go out to the main hall to clean up, to use the mop to clean it for the work of service. I don't see Joshua doing that. He left. He didn't even eat lunch with us. You missed the opportunity to serve God, man. You missed that opportunity to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, verse 12. What is our responsibility? To prepare God's people for work of service, so that the church may be built up. When you build up the church, you build the house of God. God said, let me build your house. Let me heal your body. Don't just sit. Do something about that. Did anyone learn anything today? So we all have to serve, right? I know that you know how to play violin, right? You should ask this brother. Ask him to teach you. He's busy now. But chase after him. He's good. Have you ever seen him playing violin? Huh. See? You're not preparing God people for work. Teach that girl. That girl served God in the evangelistic meeting to play the violin. And you are so good and you're not serving it. You're burying in the ground. I'm going to kill you, okay? That guy. Oh, man. That is it for today. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help our children not just be the hearer of your word. Help us to be the practitioner, to practice what we hear. Lord, you hate the practices of the Nicolaitan. We also hate. Lord, you don't like the teaching of Nicolaitan. We don't teach that either. That's why we prepare God's people for work of service so that your church, the house of God, may be built up. Lord, as we build up your church, I pray that you bless our house. Bless our people and bless them with your blessing. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.